D-Mace Finn Gnadonic 102.5, the game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Burke Nihil, Titans president and CEO, recently did an exclusive interview with Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports. The headline, a quote from Burke Nihil: think Paradise Park meets ESPN Zone. That kind of gave me the shudders a little bit, talking about the fan experience at the new Nissan Stadium. But there was a lot more in this interview with Easton Freeze. And correct me if I'm wrong, Burke Nihil was also on the Titans preseason broadcast talking about a lot of these same issues.
He used the Paradise Park meets, what was it?
ESPN Zone.
ESPN Zone. So it was clear that he had talking points that he was going to stick to in both interviews. So I thought it was interesting to read it because I had read it earlier that day, Easton's piece, and then I heard him regurgitate the same exact points during the broadcast.
Derek, do you remember the ESPN Zone in the Inner Harbor in Baltimore?
Yes, I did. Did I go much? No, I didn't.
I've been there.
I think I've been there once.
Do they still exist, ESPN Zones?
I don't know. They may do.
I don't think so.
You don't?
Because they used to be around. There was one in New York, right?
Yes. Is there one still on the Disney property? There has to be.
There was one in
D.C. If there's not one in Disney,
yeah, something's wrong. Yeah, they're done.
That would be the last place because
exactly.
ESPN is owned by
Disney.
Like,
so it should be one at Disney or in Orlando, period.
Remember Planet Hollywood? There was a lot of Planet Hollywoods there.
It was one downtown.
Anymore.
Meanwhile, Hard Rock Cafe still going strong. Nevertheless, the one thing that we have heard from all of you when it comes to the new stadium is about keeping new Nissan Stadium affordable for the average fan. Because as we all know, when a new stadium opens, prices skyrocket and the casual fan, not casual, the average fan may have a harder time affording tickets. Easton Freeze writes, quote, "A lot of the feedback I got early on from fans in reaction to the Titan sales process was disappointment along these lines in terms of the average family of fans being able to attend the game. Mm-hmm. Folks were unhappy with the price increase they saw on paper. But I wanted to give the organization a chance to speak to this complaint, and here's what Nihil had to say." Quote, "There is something of a template for how you go about building a new building, selling a new building. And you know, one of the things I've loved about Amy's leadership is that she's allowed us to just think differently and be different. And we've definitely taken that approach in terms of the building we're going to build, the way we're going to try to bring it to life, and the dream that we have for what this building will be. And that dream was never going to be filling it with 60,000 new people. The dream was always going to be that this is the next great chapter of the Tennessee Titans organization, and that means that we've got to try to bring as many people with us into that next generation as we can." The interview continues, and here is something that, Willie, I know when I sent this to you, you highlighted. More from Nihil. Quote, "As we sit here today, that number has worked out to about $60 million in PSL credits that we've just given to existing PSL members as an incentive and an invitation to come with us into the next generation. That wildly exceeds what our projections were, but we're happy about that. To give you some very specific data points on dispelling the idea that this building is not for our core fan. Even once we decided to kind of bring pricing to what was something that felt right to us, which meant PSLs as low as $750, which was not something that our consultants were recommending, they still expected that based on past stadium work they've done, maybe 40 to 50% of current season ticket members would come over to the current building. A year into PSL sales, we're pacing at 70%. So 70% of our season ticket members have actually purchased PSLs in the new building. And we agonized about how to honor season ticket members is an understatement because we just never felt like we turned a corner until basically the very end. But it was that one point, Willie, PSLs as low as $750, but not really spelling out how much it's actually going to cost.
Well, because I don't know how many of the seats are $750, but I think when you get to the premium seating, there is quite a big hike from what I've been told from fans that are trying to make this decision. The the fans that have been, in a lot of cases, the early PSL holders in the old stadium. And I do think we have to keep in mind, to be fair to the Titans, the Nissan Stadium, or the Coliseum, which was then Adelphia Coliseum and so on, was built for $275 million, right? It was bare bones. This is a $2 billion stadium that has less seats, right? So this was going to be tough, and I'm taking it as a given that it should be a spectacular venue to watch a football game or any other type of event, right? This should be state-of-the-art. We're certainly paying for it, right? $2 billion, that's coming from a lot of different sources from us, the people, right? So I sure hope it's really nice. So the trick is, you know, how do you try to keep what they're saying? Because what he's saying is an important point, right? You want to have some core people that care that are building a home field advantage for your team there. So what steps have you taken? But I find it interesting. It's a lot of word salad in there. There's a lot of big words.
A lot of corporate jargon.
A lot of corporate stuff in there. So I just thought it would be a good idea to ask the people, the fans, who have maybe been to, what do you call it, Titans House, where you go in and you get the spiel, because you won't find a list of the ticket prices publicly right now. They give you little glimpses, like you just highlighted. The most inexpensive one is $750. But they don't have a menu that you can go look online and say, here are the prices of the tickets.
This is what I find interesting, and I get up to as low as $750. Is that after the credit and that,
right.
that they just
act like these bad guy corporate mm-hmm. people or consultants, bad guys. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't give the fans credit. Well, that should be a no-brainer that an original PSL holder should get that credit,
yes,
right?
Yes, you should get the credit.
I mean, I'm not going to applaud them for
especially
that.
Especially if you're asking me.
That's a common sense, decent thing to do.
If you're asking me still to buy PSLs to a stadium that is existing now, you should be giving me credit. If I just bought a PSL last year to this stadium, well, you shouldn't have done it, but they're still selling them. And that credit should go to the, you know, to the new building. But even with that, how much are the new seats going to cost if I want the same seats in the same area? See, that's the thing.
And it doesn't translate a lot mm-hmm. Because it's a different configuration. And as Nihil was saying on the broadcast, you know, there's less seats, mm-hmm. there's more premium seats, and the upper deck seats are closer. So this is what, you know, he used
there's no
the term,
bad seat in the house.
That's what he said. He's pushing that. There's no bad seats. So the upper deck seats, even though they're the upper deck, are still going to be expensive because they're 38% on average closer to the field. So that's the justification. And once again, I get it. It's a smaller venue, and it's state of the art. It's going to be more expensive. But it's still a fine line. And so I'm surprised. And, of course, he sets the bar low by saying these consultants, the bad guys.
The Bobs.
The Bobs from Office Space are saying, you're not going to get more than 40 or 50. Hey, we're getting 70%. But I'm also curious, how can you say you're pacing for 70%? Either you are at 70%, and there's a lot of people still weighing that, because you're nowhere close to finishing this process, right? You got 2 years before. So I'm not sure how you get that you're pacing to 70%.
Well, they're pacing to 70% by the time the stadium open, or are you pacing 70% based on your goals of selling
It's very careful language, and I would love to know how you arrive at that, and they're never going to show us, right? It's their business. It's not our business. That's why I want to ask the people, the season ticket holders,
that's
the people that want to go.
Listening right now.
I want to know what your experience has been, and do you plan on going to the new stadium? Like, especially if you are a current PSL holder in the Nissan Stadium, the current version of the old stadium, right? Have you gone through this process, and what is your outlook right now? Have you already made your decision? Are you still weighing your decision? How much time do you have to do this?
They got forever to do it because they ain't going to sell them all out.
Well, but at some point, they're going to open it up to everybody else, right? And then corporate giants will come
in. Anybody that can buy, period. Because I'm sure the corporate giants own some of those PSLs in the old stadium, and they're not doing anything, which I get it. I don't blame them. They're not doing anything but going to those meetings, and they're buying up those seats again because they were PSL holders, and rightfully so. This is what happens, and I get, because I know just about every call, it may be down the middle, but some people are going to say, hey, listen, because of the escalation in the prices, the percentage, I just can't buy my tickets to the new stadium. I'm going to rat it out for this stadium, and I'm just going to watch. But then there are some that's going to say, hey, if I had four PSL seats, I'm going to go down to two because they cost so much, but I'm still going to support my
team. And so how does that figure into the 70%
Exactly. I get it. But this is what happens when you let a vampire in. They suck you dry. You've let the vampire in, and he's sucking you dry. And we know it's happening, but we can't get away from it. Now we are slaves to the football team. That's just what we are. Me, Willie, Adam, all of us, we are.
But there is a point where you do get priced out. Right, and I do wonder.
They'll never price anybody out.
But he's saying that.
Unfortunately, 70%.
But I still think that I want to see how that math works. If you have 70% of the current PSL holders, another question I had as I'm reading this and watching the interview. A lot of the PSLs, I think it's fair to say, went into the hands of ticket brokers. Right, people who they buy the PSL and then they're in the business of selling the season tickets to anybody, right? Which often ends up in the hands of the other team's fans who are coming in, right? Those aren't Titans fans; those are people trying to make money off. They're investors, right? So how does that factor in? Because those aren't your diehard Titans fans; those are ticket brokers, right? And that just happened over time. It's hard to control. I know they've had internal issues on how to address that. So what factor is that in this process? But I want to get down to just the regular fans who have been going to that stadium for over 20 years. I'm sure by now they have had the opportunity to go through this process. What has your experience been like?
Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, where Crazy Billy is
crazy
waiting.
Billy.
Crazy Billy, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Section 115, Charlie 8 and 9, that's near the south end zone, right on the 10-yard line. You know, I'm the kind of fan that carved a Titans T in my head and had my barber do that the day that my good friend Derek caught that touchdown. And, yeah, well, we won't talk about it. I still love you, Derek. Anyway. I've been through the process. Those PSLs cost $3,000 apiece. I bought them from the original PSL owner about 2 years in when the stadium opened, and I've been there ever since. This year I did not renew my seats, not because of the team's record, the players, the quarterbacks, but how the management has handled the fans. I did not go and get a new PSL in the new stadium because it would be $50,000 a seat for me to get a comparable location without any understanding of what the ticket price would be either. So I just forfeited. I tried to sell my PSL last year at half price. Didn't even get a bite. As far as for that 70% that they touted, is a bunch of bunk. Because all of the people around me have been gone for a long time, which were the original PSL owners.
Hey, Crazy Billy, how many PSLs did you have?
Two.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy.
So, and the reason why I did this was for my retirement. I'm retired now, and they just priced me out of the market, even though they kept pushing me to go to the, you know, to the stratosphere. my eyes are not that good anymore.
Thank you, Craig.
Anyway, thank you for the call, Billy. Let's quickly go to Pam on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Pam, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hi. I've been a season ticket holder since day one, and I had three to start with, and then I went down to two. And I have been to Titan's house. I had a seat for $500. The new seat, and I was on the first row of the loge. So I am again on the first row of the upper deck. I don't know if they're calling it the loge or not. But so my $500 seat is now $2,500. And I did get $1,000 credit, times two. And I was happy with that. So I don't know what to say about people who aren't happy about it, but I do think that the seats in the lesser pricing, I mean, to me, you know, it's been over 20 years. I did expect to pay more, and $2,500 for the PSL, I thought was reasonable.
Thank you for the call, Pam. Good.
This is the kind of feedback that I think is real, to cross-check what he says on the thing, because I do think there will be some people that feel like Pam did and say, I expect to pay a little more because it's going to be a nicer building and it's going to be more amenities and more bathrooms and better access to concessions, which are woefully poor in that area of the current stadium, right? So you're paying for better stuff. For sure. And so the caller before that, Crazy Billy, I think there are a lot of people in his case that were sitting lower, and I just don't see how you can arrive at 70% if a lot of people, because for him to keep his seats, there's a bigger hike, I think, than for Pam, who's already sitting up high and is going to get something in the terrace level. Burke Nihil was saying, he thinks the terrace level is a really good buy. He bought them for his family, which makes some sense, right? But everybody can't sit in somebody's got to sit in the lower seats.
And
so that's 50% of the stadium right there.
That's why I said the NFL, these teams, they will never price people out. You just may not be able to go, but they'll never price people out, because ultimately what happens is, especially if your team start winning, those PSLs are going to be bought up, period, by corporations. They are. And then from there, they're going to sell the seats individually. Now, the Titans want more Titan fans to buy the PSL, but because of the price hike, some people are choosing to be like Pam and say, okay, I do it. But then some people like Crazy Bill are saying, I'm not going to do it. Well, they've already banked that already. They've already thought of all these problems that are happening. I'm sure the think tank, they thought of all of them. And they know eventually that they're going to get those PSLs sold, but it's going to be big corporations. And then what is going to happen? The same that has been happening from season in and season out. You're going to get more not Titans fans at particular games than you are Titans fans. That's just Buffalo, Chicago, who else? Pittsburgh, games like that. You're going to see a big group of that team in that building, especially if this team doesn't start winning.
615-737-1025. Burke Nihil, Titans president and CEO, says in an interview with A to Z Sports that a year into PSL sales, the Titans are pacing at 70% in terms of current season ticket members coming over to the current building. We want to hear your experience. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D. Mace, Vingan and Darnick, 1025 The Game, talking an interview that Burke Nihil, Titans president and CEO, did with Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports, talking about new Nissan Stadium. The quote that we are discussing is that according to Burke Nihil, a year into PSL sales, the Titans are pacing at 70% in terms of current season ticket members who are coming over from the current Nissan Stadium. Also, that PSLs are as low as $750.
As low as.
I don't like the sound as low as.
Neither.
But we want your experience at 615-737-1025. Let's go to Benjamin, who has been waiting patiently on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Benjamin, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, hi, Ed. Adam Vinion Donick, D. Mace Vinion Donick. I have a good story about a PSL visiting the Titans house. So I have 4 tickets in the club section currently. And so I was included in the first wave. And the first wave was to sell existing club season ticket holders club season tickets. And they have marketing names for the 2 club sections, but I'll just call it the exclusive club and the more exclusive club. And the more exclusive club is around the 50-yard line. And the folks there in the new stadium will be able to see the players come into the stadium at the games, and I guess exit the stadium too. For the exclusive club, and that runs from the 10-yard line through the middle of the stadium to the other 10-yard line. That's going to be inclusive, but drinks only, so it won't include food, whereas the more exclusive will include food. So the more exclusive club was way out of my price range, and I looked at those prices, and honestly, I don't remember what they were. They were so high. But the exclusive club, the one that ran from the 10 to the 10, excluding like right around the 50, and I was looking right around the 10, it was $20,000 a PSL. So for me, since I had 4, it would have been $80,000, and the ticket prices were about $400 a game. So you're looking at $4,000 a ticket. So for me, they wanted me to pay $100,000, close to $100,000, after they gave me the $4,500 credit. It still was close to $100,000. So needless to say, I didn't purchase that time. And they called me back a second time, and I went. And this time, they were offering me the end zone, which in the end zone was at $15,000 a PSL, still outside of my price range. Because remember, I only paid $1,500 a PSL for the club. And so I said, well, $15,000 out of my price range. Do you have anything else? And they said, oh, well, we do. And the 200 level, those are $7,500 a PSL. And the 200 level only runs from about the 20-yard line through the end zone, because the 200 level now has mostly suites and so forth in it. So I said, $7,500. Well, that's a little out of my price range, but I might be interested in that area because that's where my current tickets are. I'm in section 230. So, yeah, I might be interested in those. And so they showed me the inventory, and almost all of the inventory was gone. And so I was in the first wave, and then they brought me back, and I said, well, hey, where did all the inventory go? You know, I was an existing club season ticket holder. We thought I've gotten a little priority coming back. And they said, well, here's what happened. So when we offered the tickets to the people who were in the end zone at $15,000 a PSL, a lot of those folks couldn't afford that. And so we offered them the 200 level at $7,500 a PSL. I said, oh, okay. Well, hey, how about this? I don't know that I'm interested in what's left over in the 200 level. So why don't you go ahead and let me look at the 300 level? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Benjamin, we can't do that. Those aren't on sale yet. And the people who are in the 300 level will get the first dibs at those. And I said, well, hold on a second. That doesn't sound fair, because what you just told me was that here I am in the club and I was offered ticket prices and PSL prices that I couldn't afford, and yet you all didn't offer me the 200 level at the time, but you're telling me that you had folks in the end zone on the 100 level who couldn't afford those PSLs at 15,000, you offered them the 200 level. I'm really just asking to be put on the same playing field, no pun intended, as the folks that were in the 100 level. Just offer me the next one up. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do that. Anyway, so they didn't. And they offered me to come back a third time. And so I did, and I went and looked at the 300 level and the 400 level. And like you all said, it's, these seats are supposed to be 38% closer to the stadium. They really marketed that. And so I suspect I'm going to be close in the 300 level to what I was in the 200 level. I ended up buying right around the 15-yard line. Those were $3,000 a PSL. I was able to purchase all of them at the same time instead of, you know, spreading the payment out over a period of time. And so they gave me a 10% discount. And it just went on in the 300 level. It went from 3,000 around, say, the 20-yard line. And as you got towards the middle, it was like 4,500 to 5,000 and maybe higher. And then as you went from the 20-yard line to the end zone, it went from 3,000 to 2,500 and lower. The 400 level was where the 750 PSL prices were.
Thank you for the call, Benjamin. Incredibly detailed.
Yeah. I mean,
that was, listen, quite the process.
That was and that is why I said that you may not be able to buy them. We may not be able to buy them. But they're going to get somebody to buy them, because they're what it's almost essentially what they're trying to do is, which is smart, I in a sense, I guess, from a financial standpoint. They're just trying to get those people in that 2-3. They're trying to get them to stay within that area and that price range. They don't want the 15,000. To now jump to 3,000 per seat. They don't want that. They want the 15,000 to maybe go to 75, but we ain't gonna let you go any lower than that yet. We want to try to pressure you into buying the tickets. Good. Hey, I almost got like that 1 year in Vegas going to visit a timeshare because we wanted some tickets. They kept sending us from room to room, and we kept saying no. Just give us the tickets. But in this case, either you're gonna say no a few times, and then eventually they're gonna get you to that price. But where are the $750 PSLs?
Well, that's what I hear a lot is exactly his story, that a lot of people have moved up.
Mm-hmm.
They've moved up the stadium.
But where are the $750 PSLs?
At some point, you're squeezing some people out, I would think. It's hard to maintain if you're moving from expensive seats to less expensive seats. You're pushing some of the people who were sitting in the less expensive seats, theoretically, out of the picture, right?
Yeah, because they're more to them. They're more than what they paid originally. So you're gonna try to put them somewhere else. And then eventually, if they can't pay for those, well, you're going to push them out. So it's almost, it's almost like affordable housing. Eventually, they get you out of there. And they get everybody else in. Wow, man, goodness gracious. But anyway.
And this is a league-wide thing.
It's not just a Titans thing. Yeah. Yes, you're right. It's not a Titans thing. It's the league. Anytime you get a new stadium, unfortunately, this is one of the things that's going to happen. Even, you know, down in Atlanta, they knew it was going to happen. So what did their owner do? The owner said, listen, we're going to sell food at a discounted price. Because we know that you're going to pay out, these tickets cost a percentage more. And we know a lot of people are going to have to decide, you know, to buy them or not. But at least when they come to the stadium, we're not going to hit them over their head with prices for a hot dog and a Coke either, or some popcorn. You know, we're going to try to lessen the blow there, because you're just paying for a game to enter into that building. When you buy those PSLs and that ticket, we ain't talking about the food you're going to have to pay. You got to pay for the food. Even when you're in a suite, you still got to pay for the food. So, again, I understand that when you get a new stadium, this is what's going to happen. So, I'm not upset with them, but I'm sure they know under their model that they're going to lose some of their fan base. At least coming to the building, some of the older fan base, they're going to lose a portion of those people, and they understand that.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on this. But coming up next, speaking of the stadium, Derek said something last week that sparked something in me. It is time for an Adam Vingan big-ass glasses moment, because I did the research. I put in the work when it comes to new stadiums, and how quickly teams turn things around once they start playing in new stadiums. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Tomorrow we will be joined by The Athletic's media reporter, Richard Deitch. Willie and Derek, I believe you used to have Richard Deitch on your program on a weekly basis.
Oh, yes.
We did. Yes.
So looking,
he is excellent.
Enjoyed it.
Looking forward to having Richard Deitch with us. A lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to media deals. The NFL, ESPN, there was a huge deal today with UFC and Paramount Plus. So we'll get into all of that with Richard Deitch tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us at 5 o'clock. But Derek, you mentioned something the other day, talking about the new stadium. You mentioned something the other day about how teams that enter new stadiums get a bump. And I thought, what a perfect opportunity for me to put on my big-ass glasses, sit down, and do the research. So here's what I did. There have been 17 stadiums that have opened since the year 2000. 19 teams play in those 17 stadiums because the Rams and Chargers share a stadium and the Giants and Jets share a stadium. So I wanted to see how long it took on average for teams to make the playoffs for the first time after entering a new stadium. That average among the 19 teams was roughly 2 years. 2 years. So the Titans enter the new stadium in 2027. Better make the playoffs by 2029. How realistic do you think that is?
I think it's realistic. It depends on how they draft. You show me some good drafts between now and 2028, and I think, you know, first of all, making the playoffs now that there's the extra wild card is not unheard of. There's always going to be a team that slides in to a wild card at 10-7, and you make the playoffs, or you win a weaker division. So making the playoffs isn't the end game. So I think it's quite reasonable, especially if they got the Cam Ward part of this right. If it doesn't, you see what's going on with the Colts right now. And so much talk right now of them getting ready to cut bait on what, the fourth overall pick in the draft, just a couple of years into it, like the third year into it. That's what could really set you back. So realistic? Yeah, it's very realistic, for sure. And if they don't, then that probably means they missed on Cam Ward or they've had several more really bad drafts.
By the way, a lot of these teams made the playoffs in either the first year of the stadium or the second year of the stadium. Here are a couple of outliers. The Texans, their stadium, NRG Stadium, opened in 2002. They didn't make the playoffs until 2011, but they were an expansion team, mm-hmm. So take that for what it's worth. The Lions did not make it to the playoffs at Ford Field until 2011. Ford Field opened in 2002.
They might as well have been an expansion team.
That's probably
that was
true.
So bad.
They had some issues back then.
Yes,
the 49ers, Levi Stadium opened in 2014. The Niners did not make the playoffs for the first time until 2019. And the Bengals in 2005 made the playoffs for the first time when Paycor Stadium, what is now known as Paycor Stadium, opened in 2000. But okay. The average is roughly 2 years.
And that's what I thought it was going to be. It wasn't going to be long. And I was basing that off of, you know, what we did and what some other teams did right along that time. They were building new stadiums or redoing them. But you're right. And this is what, you know, we've mentioned this before in past shows, you know, this roster being a certain way as they are entering into the new stadium. I thought, and I still believe, that it's very imperative for the Tennessee Titans to have a winning team once they enter that building. They can't go into that building with a question mark or a losing team. They just can't. That will crush the fan base. But looking back on past drafts, in particular, started with 2023 now, as I'm starting to look at it now, Peter Skoronski seems to be, barring injury, he seems to be a keeper. Tajay Spears, because he can't stay healthy, he's a guy that they want to explode. They want to sign to a new deal. But for some reason, he just keeps getting hurt. J.C. Latham looks okay. T-Sweat looks like he's going to be a player. So that's the last two drafts. So you essentially, you got three players that you can start to build on. And then you look at this year's draft. You're hoping Cam Ward plays out. You open that Femi, you know, develops into the player you believe he can be. And then you hope the two young wide receivers can find their footing in this league within the next year, year and a half. So they're building a foundation. It's not solid yet, but they're building a foundation. And those guys that I named, if they can be productive and headed to a second contract as the quarterback is developing as well, I think they're going to set themselves up to be a playoff team as they're entering the building. But believe me, they have no margin of error here. They don't. If these players don't develop, don't expect a team ready for the playoffs when that stadium opens.
By drafting the quarterback number one and not, and again, this is nothing personally against Cam Ward, but you see what it is with what's happening with Richardson as an example of when you have that many eggs in that basket. And it's a little bit of a roll of the dice, right? They've got one way to success, and that is if Cam Ward ends up being special. So they really, truly believe that will be the case. If it is, then that's good. But you talk about all these draft picks. There's only one way to get good, and that's the draft will. You cannot buy, in this day and age of the NFL, you can't buy a good team. You have to draft it and develop it. So they don't have that many picks. There's a lot that's riding on this. So I think I would have taken the picks. That would give you more ways to get more good players by getting more high picks in the top two, three rounds, which is what they have said that they need to do. So we'll see what happens. To me, the fastest way to make the playoffs when the new stadium opens is to pick very high again this year, honestly. And there's a trade-off there. And you don't go into a season saying this is what you want to have happen. But honestly, that's the quickest way to get the kind of draft capital that they need because they're so far behind the eight ball with their talent pool.
And I know people look at, you know, Cincinnati and say, well, Cincinnati, they had a bad second season, but that wasn't done on purpose. Their quarterback got hurt. He was playing well as a rookie, and it didn't seem like they were going to get a high pick. Now, were they going to be a great team? Probably not. But I think they were trending toward getting better than not. And then your quarterback goes down and he missed the last, seven games of the season. Coupled in, he was developing early on. It just fell into place right for them in a sense.
Yeah, but yeah. I look at the current guys, right? Mm-hmm. When that new stadium opens up, is Calvin Ridley still going to be what Calvin Ridley is today? He's probably going to be on the back nine, probably down past his prime. Tony Pollard, I think, clearly will be past his prime by the time that stadium opens. Jeffrey Simmons, you would really hope, still has a year or two left, but he's going to be paid a lot if he's still on the team. And that's why I think it's worth looking at trading him. I would shop him around and see what kind of draft capital I could get back. But if you go down the list, it's a short list of players that you are pretty certain are going to be core players when that stadium opens. That is where I think they're really in trouble, right? Like, you start listing the players who you know are going to be on the team in their prime when that stadium opens. You hope Cam Ward is one. Mm-hmm. You still don't know if he's going to get there. You hope. Latham, Skowronski, Sweat, and
maybe Brownlee.
That's a maybe.
Yeah. But that's why I brought up Skowronski and Latham and those guys, because those are the guys you're hoping will get to a second contract, which means they will be in the new building.
Like, for example, Snead, it doesn't look like he will ever play in that stadium. I'd be stunned if he plays a game for the Titans in that new stadium, the direction his career is going. Mm-hmm. It'd be a great story if he can rebound. But they paid a lot of money and gave up a third-round pick to get him. And he may not ever play in that new stadium. These are the kind of things that I think about when you're trying to build a roster to be good in the new stadium.
The Titans were on the practice field today against the Atlanta Falcons. We talked to Teron Davenport earlier in the program. His report, not so good for the Tennessee Titans today. A lot of talk about a sluggish start to practice, which is something the Titans also said about their joint practice with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. The Titans and Falcons will be practicing against each other again tomorrow morning. Derek, if we hear the same thing today if we hear the same thing tomorrow that we heard today, how much of a concern would that be for you?
I would be disappointed. I really would. Because, listen, they may not win every rep, but I don't think you can come out and have the same thing said by players at the end of practice that you had today. If that happens, I am highly disappointed in this team. Do I think that it would ultimately mean they're a bad team? No. But I would be disappointed because that's the one thing. If you come off the practice field and it feels like there wasn't maximum effort, and then players come out and say there wasn't maximum effort, there wasn't, that next day you make sure that there's maximum effort out on that field. I don't care what it takes. You make sure that. It may not mean that you win every rep, but it means it looks much different than what it did the prior day. And we're not going to question whether we started off slow. They may have just been better than us in certain periods, but it wasn't because we lack effort or anything else or we started off slow. So if it happens again, I'm just disappointed. And that would tell me what the leaders are saying, it's not reaching everybody. That's what that would tell me, and that's disappointing, if indeed that does happen.
Willie, your thoughts on same question.
I really try not to overreact to any one practice, but I would like to see a response because these are the things that are talked about in a locker room. I can sit here from 50,000 feet up and say, hey, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be about how they look in a few weeks. And they could be meandering their way as long as they get there. But in the locker room, you know that's what everybody's talking about. Guys, we were sluggish today. Tomorrow we're going to show them that we're better than that. And they're not going up against the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending champions, right? The Falcons are a team that's got a lot of holes. They've got a young quarterback. They should not be dominated and overmatched by the Falcons, right? And I do buy that. The travel and the turnaround and the late arrival, it could lead to your biorhythms or whatever. Sometimes you just don't have it. But tomorrow that's not going to fly, right? As a professional team, you want to see a response. You want to see an edgy team that's got some pep and bounces back.
Well, we'll see how the Titans respond. They practice tomorrow morning. We will be on the air, of course, at 3 o'clock, reacting to it. Hopefully, we will have more positive things to react to from Titans practice tomorrow versus what we heard and read from today's practice in Atlanta. Richard Deitch, the Athletics media reporter, will join us at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us at 5 for his weekly segment with us. But until then, have a wonderful rest of your day and your commute. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Tuesday. I love you. We love you. Peace.